Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Black Belt Selling with Stephanie and Anna Scheller. I'm Anna, and normally you hear, I'm Stephanie. However, Stephanie is on the road today. As a matter of fact, for those of you who are our regular listening audience, you know that I am the mother of 7 children. Stephanie is actually number 2, and we're having a big family reunion, so she's actually on her way into Del Rio to spend some time with the family this weekend as we say goodbye to a couple of our kids who are headed off to make some major life changes. So celebrate with us. Thank you for joining us today. I know your time is valuable, and so we're going to get right into our topic for today. Now, today's topic is a big topic that a lot of people get stuck at. You know, overall, we talk about the sales process. The sales process being that we start with lead generation, then we move into appointment setting, which is to get the appointment, to meet with the decision makers. And then we move into trust and rapport, identifying customer needs, sharing the benefits, closing, any objection handling to move the sale forward, and then follow-up that needs to happen, which puts us back in the sales process again. Today, we're going to be talking specifically about appointment setting, and more specifically, we're going to be talking about how do we get to the decision maker. We all run into the gatekeepers. These are the people whose job it is to screen people who are just being a nuisance to the decision maker. So today, I'm going to share with you a couple of different kinds of gatekeepers that you'll be running into. Also, how to deal with each one specifically. And last, I'm going to share with you what to do when you end up with someone's voicemail, because that happens quite a bit. Just a little bit about Blog Talk or Black Belt Selling for those of you that are new to our broadcast. Stephanie and I are a mother-daughter team in South Central Texas, and we are passionate about helping you break through the obstacles that keep you from getting more sales. We want to help you get to the next level to become a master at the process of sales, close more sales, and make more money. You can join us at our Facebook group, www.facebook.com/groups/blackbeltselling. That's www.facebook.com/groups/blackbeltselling. Ask to join the group. We post information about these radio shows as well as motivational posts to help you along your way. So let's talk about gatekeepers. Let's talk about gatekeepers. Let's talk about the two kinds of gatekeepers that we encounter. There's the gatekeeper who's basically like a receptionist. It's somebody whose job it is to answer the phone. Now, if you're in network marketing, it could be a child. If you're talking to corporations and businesses, it could be the person at the receptionist desk. The person whose job it is to greet people as they walk in the door and also to route the phone calls that come into the company. The other gatekeeper is the executive assistant or personal assistant to the decision maker. It could be the executive secretary, could be a personal assistant to the CEO or the CFO. Person is extremely critical and needs to be handled differently than the receptionist. Keep in mind throughout this that you have to have the right focus. That's part of being a good martial artist, and it's part of being a sales master. Your focus throughout the process of setting appointments is to provide value and build rapport all the way to the decision maker. That means that you have to be careful not to discount the people on the way up. I've heard this said before, and while it's never been a problem for me, it is a problem sometimes for the overambitious, profit-driven salesperson. And these are the people who will treat the receptionist with disdain and not treat them like a human being. And in actuality, after the meeting with the CEO or the CFO or the decision maker, that person will go back to the receptionist and say, "So how were you treated?" They're looking to make sure that you value their business by valuing their employees. Keep in mind, too, that the decision maker may not be who you think it is. For example, in auto sales, the decision maker is often not the person that's looking at the car. It could be the wife or the mother. As a matter of fact, I believe the statistics are that about 85% of all car sales, the person who has the greatest influence on the sale is the wife or the female significant other. See, it's important that you treat everyone with respect on every step of the way. Well, let's talk first about that busy receptionist, that person who's answering the phone and is the first person that you talk to when you call a company or someone's home. If they're in a business, these people are very busy. They're answering phone calls. They have to find the right person to route the call to. They don't want to try to figure out who the right person is that you need to talk to. They're also the very first person to talk to any outsiders. So if they're at that desk answering the phone and then people are walking in and coming up to them, we want to be very, very cognizant of the fact and be respectful of their time. They have a lot to do. Now, these people also are very rarely thanked. At the end of the day, they might get thanked if they got the pizza order right from the advertising department or the marketing department. So these folks are underappreciated, overworked, and think about this. Probably they got that position so they could get into the company to start working their way up. So this job is not their dream job. This job is not something they're planning to make a career of. And so, again, you don't know where this person's going to end up in the company. Another great, great reason to treat them with respect. Now, the goal with discussion with the receptionist is you want to forge a path to the decision maker without being grilled, screened, rejected, or hung up on. Now, the way to make this happen is in your conversation with her or him, you want to be purposeful. You want to know what you're going to be requesting that they do for you. You want to be self-aware. Remember, one of the things I want to encourage you to do is I want you to realize this person is not your enemy. This person is a friend who can help you get to the right people that you need to talk to. And always, always, always be polite. Stephanie tells the story about how she was trying to reach a person who was waiting for someone else to make a decision about a product that she was selling when she first got into the sales industry. And as she got more and more frustrated, she became more and more, shall we say, impolite. And so as a result, she lost the sale because it boiled down to she got rude to the person. Now, I know all of us say, well, I would never do that. But here's the thing. When we're trying to work to get past the gatekeeper, our fear can overtake our best intentions. And we can often get caught up in trying to make things happen. Well, always stay polite. Always be respectful of the person on the other end of the phone. You know, even if they're having a bad day, even if they say, Good morning. Thank you for calling XYZ Widget Company. How can I help you? You know, that's not going to get the best response out of us, but we have to bring the best response to that conversation. So, peaceful, be self-aware. That means that if those fears are coming up about losing the sales, you're keeping them in check and you're acknowledging that you are a powerful person and that you are polite. Because every step of the way to the decision maker, you are building rapport. Remember, the decision maker can come back, come to that receptionist and said, "So, when Anna called you, how did she treat you?" "Well, you know, Anna was such a witch. I just can't believe she treated me like I was a stepping stone." Got it. Lost the sale, right? Of course, I would never do that. And if you're listening to this show, I know you would never do that either. Now, what I'm about to share with you will follow an email or letter that you have sent the decision maker before making the call so that you are telling them when you're calling and what your purpose is. One of the first things that you want to do is you want to tell the receptionist what you would like for them to do for you. Conversation goes something like this. "Hello, thank you for calling XYZ Widget Company. This is Joanne. How can I help you today?" "Hi, Joanne. Would you please connect me with Amanda in Mr. Smith's office? Thank you." Note a few things here. First of all, I've avoided answering any questions. The only question I answered is, "How can I help you? Please connect me to Amanda." Amanda, we're going to say in this conversation, is the personal assistant, and Mr. Smith is the decision maker. Let's take this apart for just a moment. You want to give direction. You want to tell that person what you want them to do for you. Two, if you will remember, I said thank you at the end. Couple of things. Remember at the beginning of the show, I was talking about how receptionists only get thanked probably when they get the pizza order right? Well, this shows gratitude, but it also implies that the person you're speaking to is going to take action. So you're giving a command, a direction, and you're being self-aware, you're being purposeful, but you're also indicating that they're going to take the action you request. Now, most of the time, people will probably put you through, but there are times that you are going to face questions, even though I recommend that you answer as few questions as possible, because when someone's asking questions, they are suddenly in control of the conversation, and you want to retain control of the conversation to get past the gatekeeper and get to the decision maker. So, if they ask who is this and they're insistent, you can say, "Well, this is Anna Scheller with ABC Intel Company. Mr. Smith is expecting my call at 9 o'clock, and I am running a few minutes behind. So, it's critical I be on time." Whatever you do, don't lie. Now, when I'm saying that Mr. Smith's expecting my call, it's because I sent an email or I sent a letter in advance telling him when I was going to call. I'm not lying. Now, whether Mr. Smith read the letter or not, I don't know. But if he did read the letter, he's expecting me. If he didn't read the letter, I'm going to follow through with my commitment that I made on the letter. But whatever you do, don't lie. That will ruin your credibility. And you need to have credibility because remember, people buy from people they like and trust. Now, you may still be asked questions by the receptionist, such as, "What is this in regards to?" Now, there's a general hook you can use that most often will get the process moving again. So you could say something to the effect of, "It's about giving Mr. Smith the opportunity that my company's other customers have had to get products for their telecommunications." There are a couple of don'ts that you want to be aware of. One don't is do not identify your product or service. You can say that you're with a health and wellness company, but don't say, you know, we have body shakes. You could be with a telecommunications company. You know, don't tell them what you do. Maybe it's, what do they call it, fiber optics. This is a fiber optics company that helps people get better communications. See, now you're getting into too much information, and that gives her further reason to not let you go through. Just list the benefits that the company could enjoy by you putting them through to help Mr. Smith. The other thing is, don't use technical jargon. Don't use technical jargon. Speak the language of a consumer, for lack of a better word, normal consumer. Because if you speak technical jargon, that can create confusion and it can put you farther down on the list. Now, we're about halfway through the show, and Stephanie and I always give you the opportunity to learn more about how you can connect with us. And so I'm very excited to let you know that Stephanie is going to be releasing a book after the 1st of June about getting past the gatekeeper. She will have more information for you next week, but I'm really excited because this is going to be her second book, and this one's going to have some very powerful information that you can use. It's going to be a short read, but you can use this information to help you. You could actually take it with you in your purse or in your briefcase, look through it before you go into a meeting, and you can be pumped and ready to go to get ready to set more appointments. So be on the lookout. Again, join us in our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/blackbeltselling. You're going to see more about that there. And if you're in Twitter or LinkedIn, do connect with us there, because there'll be information on those channels as well. All right. So we've talked about the receptionist. We've talked about how to, some scripts to work with her to get to the decision maker. But here's another really critical idea that I want you to think about. When you're talking to the receptionist, ask to talk to the personal assistant of the decision maker. And that's the next person that you have to get to. Why do you want to talk to that person? Well, let me tell you a few things about the personal assistant that you may or may not know. First of all, the personal assistant to the decision maker, to the CEO, the CFO, the COO, CIO, the C whatever O, they are probably the second most powerful person in that department or company. Why? Because they know everything. They see everything that goes across their desk into their boss's office. They set all the appointments. They're the ones who are making sure that people who see the boss are really going to give the boss great value for their time. These people can be very powerful allies. And you want to talk to them like you talk to the decision maker. Here's a critical mindset when you're talking to a personal assistant. You want to assume that he or she is speaking for the decision maker. By doing so, you will acknowledge her pivotal role, and she or he is going to usher you right on in. Why is that? Because you are setting yourself apart from every other salesperson that's called by acknowledging the power and position and authority that they have, not only in the company, but with the decision maker. I recently had the privilege of working with the personal assistant for a supervisor of a big plant not very far away from my home, and we're providing lodging through my housing company for that company, and I'd lost contact with the personal assistant. It turned out she'd gotten moved, or some of her duties were changed, so she wasn't dealing with vendors anymore, whereas she had been dealing with vendors before. So what I did is I left a message for her, and it was a sincere message. It was obvious I wasn't going to be able to speak to her about business because I had tried several times, and then we'd been informed she was moved and she was no longer working with vendors. So I called her and I said, "Hey, Nancy," left her a voicemail, and we'll talk about voicemails. "I haven't heard from you in a while. I'm hoping everything's okay. I'm not calling as Capri Temporary Housing. I'm calling as a friend. I just want to make sure everything's okay and you're doing fine. Do you know that within 4 hours, I got a phone call back from her?" And she started, even though my intention was not to dig around and find out what was going on in the company, she freely volunteered a lot of information that's critical for me to know how to work with her company. She volunteered this. Why? Because I treated her as a decision maker. Because, to be honest, she is the decision maker. She's the one that's going to lobby for the things I can do for her company. She's the one that's talking to the manager of the site, who is the decision maker, about how my company can help her company. So it's critical, it's extremely important to establish this very critical alliance. And when you're talking to that personal assistant, you know, you can ask her things like, "Well, so what does the boss think of the proposal?" Well, you know, it's a good question. Good thing you asked that question. Here's what he's been telling me. "So what do you think about the proposal, Nancy?" She'll tell you, and she's going to echo the sentiments of her boss. You know, I can even ask, "So Nancy, what do you recommend that I do next?" She's going to tell me, and she's going to tell me because she's speaking for the decision maker, because she knows her job is to help him make good decisions. And if you're coming in to present great value to the decision maker, and you're giving great value, and you are looking at the opinion of this personal assistant as just as valuable as the decision maker, you know what? He or she may make the final decision, but the person that you're talking to has the greatest influence over that decision maker. You know, and that goes with anything. If you're in network marketing and you're talking to the husband, you want to make sure that you're bringing the decision maker in. What do you think your wife would say? So many times we're focused on the person right in front of us instead of realizing that there may be someone else who has great influence over that person's decision. You need to treat them with the same respect and dignity that you're treating the decision maker. You need to give them the same information as you're giving the decision maker, because the fact is that decision maker is probably making that decision based on input from this other individual. So let's talk a little bit about, what do you do when you have to leave voicemail? What do you have to do when you have to leave voicemail? Voicemail can be kind of tricky. You know, sometimes people, and I've been guilty of this, sometimes people will just like let their voicemails go and not listen to them until like 2 or 3 days later. So sometimes we think, "Well, I left a voicemail, you know, half an hour ago, or I left a voicemail 10 minutes ago, and, or I left a voicemail yesterday and they haven't answered." You know, people are really busy and they may not even be listening to their voicemails, or someone else might be listening to the voicemails for them. So what you want to do is you want to call that person by their first name. "Hi, Larry. This is Anna Scheller with Capri Temporary Housing. You know, my company provides greater profits to companies like yours by providing for their lodging services and negotiating the rates that are good for you. I'd really like to have a chance to chat with you and go over some proposals to possibly help you see how we could save you money. If you'd like, you can reach me at 123-456-7-8-9-10. Thank you so much. I look forward to hearing from you, or you can email me at annajoescheller@gmail.com. Thank you for your time. I look forward to hearing from you. If I don't hear back from you in the next couple of days, I'll reach out to you again. Click. What you've done is you've called the person by their name. You have stated the benefits your company offers. You've told them who you are, and you let them know you will call them back if they don't call you. I personally believe that it's very important that you let them know you will be calling them back. Sometimes I'll even leave a message to say, let me know a good time to call you back. The reason for that is I want to be of service and I don't want to be an interruption. If I or you are an interruption to somebody, we're going to have to work harder to build trust and rapport. In a recent seminar that I conducted, a couple of marketing directors from a couple of medical institutions in the Eagle Pass area. And one of the ladies, when I was talking about building trust and rapport, she raised her hand and she said, can I say something? And I said, absolutely. And she shared, you know, I'm a very busy person. And one of the things that I absolutely can't stand is when someone walks into my office and expects me to drop everything I'm doing to listen to what they have to say. It really is important for me that they contact me in advance, either through my assistant or they contact me directly to get an appointment so I can be prepared to spend time with them. You see, people want you to talk to them. People want to hear from you. And so by being courteous, by being polite, by asking for a good time. See, the other thing I do is when I finally get the decision maker on the phone to get an appointment, I will always ask, is this a good time for us to talk? Is this a good time for us to talk? Or is there another time that would be convenient for you? Again, I want to be of service and I want to provide great, great value. So when you're calling the second time and they haven't called you back, you know, you can say something along this line. Hey, Larry, this is Anna with Capri Temporary Housing again. You probably recognize my voice. I haven't heard from your company and I'm concerned that this situation is costing you more money. Possibly list other benefits. I'm a big fan of keeping things short and sweet because people don't want to listen to long email messages. But then you can say, I'll reach back out to you in the next couple of days at a time that's convenient for you because I'd love to help you enjoy the following benefits by moving forward. Let me know a good time to reach you. Thank you. Again, thank you implies that I'm expecting that they will contact me back and it's a gesture of gratitude. Well, we are at the end of the show. I can't believe how fast these things go. What I'd like to do is, again, keep your eyes and ears peeled open for Stephanie's new book coming out called Getting Past the Gatekeeper. We will be posting that in our Facebook group at www.facebook.com/groups/blackbeltselling. And if you would like to share your success story with sales with us, contact me at annajoescheller@gmail.com. That's annajoescheller@gmail.com. I will send you a link to get on my calendar so we can discuss bringing you on the show as a guest interview. Well, I want to thank you. If you are a veteran, thank you for your service. We want to let you know we are the Black Belt Sellers of Southwest and Central Texas. Thank you for joining us and have a great weekend.